Reduce the stress in your life. Know what you believe so that you can live what you believe. To help people do that at Daleville Christian Church, we claim our faith each week with passages from God's Word. Today's from Colossians in the first chapter. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God's word for today is from Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14, where Jesus tells us a parable, a story. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I asked you all to tell me which books to use as resources for the sermons here in this season before Easter, the season of Lent, because I have some 20-plus books on prayer, and we are focusing on prayer in this season before Easter, the season of Lent, so I asked for your help. And I gave you a list of the books I was likeliest to use for sermons in the season of prayer. I was asking you to help choose the sermon source books for this season. As we focus on prayer, two of my books that you chose on prayer agree. Prayers that ask for forgiveness are at the top of the list of prayers that our Lord answers. And today in our Bible reading, Jesus tells the story of a man asking for forgiveness. The traditional King James Version word is the man is a publican, but most versions just say tax collector, because that's what a publican is. He is a tax collector. And I will refer to the tax collector the way all religious Jews would have referred to the tax collector in Jesus' day. I will refer to that man as a notorious sinner. Despicable sinner also would work. And we learn some basics about prayer in Jesus' familiar story of the notorious sinner and the Pharisee. And I want to make sure that as we look at the details of Jesus' story, I want to make sure we do not overlook the obvious. Maybe it's me as a student, and maybe my personality, always wanting to get to the meat of the meaning of the Bible verse. However, in hurrying to the meat, I miss some very good nutrition in the details of Jesus' story. Jesus' teaching is perfect, so even in the commonest details, there is something to be learned, and that is certainly true of Jesus' story today. Jesus shows us two people coming for prayer, one of them considered to be a very bad man, the other considered a very good man. Still, again, there are obvious connections for us to make. They both do come for prayer. So whether you are considered good or bad, whether you consider yourself good or bad, come to prayer. In Jesus' story, the good man, the one considered good, and the bad man, the one considered bad, both come for prayer. Come to prayer. Does Jesus make himself clear? No matter how you are viewed by others, no matter how you view yourself, you can talk to God. I would further suggest that you can also listen for an answer to your prayer, and there are ways to do that, because prayer is both listening and speaking, a time for speaking and a time for listening. But how to listen for the answer to prayer, we will get to that, but on another day. Now, granted, the terrible sinner in Jesus' story does not have a lot to say. Jesus answers the prayers for each of the men that Jesus is speaking about, and for Jesus' people, Jesus' ending to the story, the answer to the prayers are surprise endings. Jesus tells us a surprise ending to teach us about God. This happens so often that I have come to call our God the God of the surprise endings. So that no matter where you think things are going, no matter how you see things playing out, no matter how you logically see what's going to happen, we worship a God of the surprise ending. And Jesus tells us a surprise ending to teach us about God. When we come to prayer, we often have something on our minds, right? We have concerns on our minds. But the Heavenly Father is looking upon our hearts. The Heavenly Father is looking upon our hearts. This is part of the reason for Jesus' surprise ending. Hear the prayer of the Pharisee. The Pharisee is outlining to God why exactly he, the Pharisee, qualifies for God to answer the Pharisee's prayer. The Pharisee is telling God why he, the Pharisee, qualifies for God to answer his prayer. The Pharisee's claim is that he does qualify to have God answer his prayer. And I have to ask if you ever think that way when you go to prayer. And Jesus says, in everything that the Pharisee has done, in all the things that the Pharisee lists as qualifying the Pharisee to have his prayers heard and answered, in all those things, Jesus says, the Pharisee already has his reward. He has gotten people to think well of him. And the Lord God says, that's plenty. The notorious sinner makes no such claims. The notorious sinner makes it clear that the notorious sinner knows that he is a notorious sinner. As we might say, the notorious sinner knows he hasn't got a leg to stand on before God. The notorious sinner makes no claims, and the notorious sinner knows he can make no claims. So the notorious sinner calls upon the Lord God for mercy. There are some 40 to 60 references in the Bible to God's mercy. Half of them in the Old Testament. For those of you who are not sure, half of the references in the Bible to God's mercy are in the Old Testament, proclaiming that our God is a God of mercy. So we can briefly summarize something about the notorious sinner who's come for prayer that the notorious sinner got right with regard to prayer. Jesus, in his story, shows us that the notorious sinner knows God, And Jesus shows us in his story that the notorious sinner knows himself. The notorious sinner knows God. How do we know that is so? The notorious sinner knows that God wants to hear the notorious sinner's prayer. The notorious sinner knows that our God is a God who hears prayer. There are close to 100 Bible references to God who hears us when we pray. And when we say that, we don't mean that the Lord God overhears our talk. The Lord God listens to us when we talk to the Lord. The notorious sinner knows that our God will hear the prayers of a notorious sinner. I can ask you if you know that. Do you know that in your heart? That God will hear and listen to the prayers of a notorious sinner? What did the sinner crucified next to Jesus ask? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus heard him, and Jesus answered him. We sing a hymn entitled, Are Ye Able? And the verse says, Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise? A reference to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 42 and 43, where Jesus tells the notorious sinner, Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, just for a moment, let's say that you still hesitate to come to prayer because of your sense of sin or your sense of unworthiness, or you just don't want to bother God. My advice to you is that you fake it till you make it. Make yourself go to prayer and talk about whatever it is you hesitate to talk about. Make yourself go to prayer and talk about whatever it is you hesitate to talk about. Continue to make yourself go to prayer until that day when you want to go to prayer. Fake it till you make it. Now, continuing with the notorious sinner's heart, the notorious sinner, for all his sin, the sinner knew that God hears prayers, even the prayers of notorious sinners, and God hears the prayers of sinners and answers them, that God wants to hear prayers, even the prayers of a sinner. In addition, the notorious sinner knew that our God was a God of mercy. I might ask you, how many Bible verses can you quote that make that claim, that our God is indeed a God of mercy? And you know what mercy is, right? Mercy is a quality of God. A quality of God in abundance. The Pharisee talks about his qualities for the Lord God to hear so that God will hear the Pharisee's prayer. The notorious sinner says one thing about himself, sinner. The notorious sinner says one thing about the Lord God, have mercy. Jason Friend, one of our authors for the season of prayer, mentions three times in the Old Testament when our God did not forgive the sins of the people. And I have those listed for you in the sermon notes. Friend does point out that the people mentioned in those Bible references expressed no interest in desiring forgiveness. They showed no signs of repentance or interest in repentance. And I just emphasize that point. No desire for forgiveness, no interest in being forgiven. They show no remorse for their sin. John the Baptist, who brings a baptism of repentance, claims bear fruits in keeping with repentance. So if we have no interest in repentance, we probably can know there is no forgiveness. So words, even if we say them, like have mercy or forgive me, words will never be enough. It needs to be from the heart. There has to be a desire. You have to want forgiveness. Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The prophet Isaiah states in the 57th chapter, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Jesus' opening words in Mark's gospel, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Author Jason Friend is also good to point out that our God does not lack the desire to forgive the sinners. The sinners that were not forgiven lacked the desire to repent, even in their hearts. But God desired to forgive them just the same. But the sinners that were not forgiven simply weren't interested in being forgiven, despite God's desire to forgive them. The Pharisee, Jesus says, has his reward because the Pharisee is convinced of his own steadfastness. And perhaps Jesus is suggesting Proverbs 11:19, "Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live." But the Pharisee in Jesus' story may be forgetting Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" Jesus makes clear in his own teachings that those who practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. There's the recognition you crave in wanting to look good in other people's eyes. You have the recognition you so crave, and there will be no more reward from God the Father. Giving alms for the purpose of self-promotion is a misuse of giving. So also when fasting, what is important is not the appearance of fasting, but the humble state that fasting promotes. Fasting promotes attention turned to others, not for their opinion of you, but our attention is turned to others in fasting in order to help them, having turned attention away from ourselves when we fast. Jesus' story of the prodigal son also shows us a young man who repented, once lost, now found. In Jesus' story of the prodigal had an idea of his father's mercy, but he did not know the extent of his father's mercy. The son repented, prepared to be a servant in his own household. Father's mercy would have none of it. He didn't even let his son get the plan out of his mouth. The son would be reinstated completely and fully. He would be son, business partner, and comptroller, as he was before in the family business, despite his misuse of the money he had been given. He will be trusted fully again as a son of the Father. David Early, author of the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible, stated that mercy is the very foundation of everyone's relationship to our Heavenly Father. Good point. And the notorious sinner either knew that, or his sin brought that prayer out of him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Friends, you and I have no ground to stand on. No leg to stand on except God's mercy. We have nothing to stand on. It's all the Lord and His mercy. So when we pray for mercy, we are praying for relationship with the Lord. And that is something the Lord wants with us, a relationship. The real relationship begins with mercy. Amen.